It is the Practice Squad. It's your host, David Schmidt. Producer Jordan Stogler. Hi, Jordan.
Hi, David.
Garmin, what's going on?
What's good?
That's my rough.
Go Hawks. Go Hawks.
Philly, what's happening?
Not much.
Everyone have a good Easter?
Oh, that was awesome.
Wonderful Easter.
Boy, wasn't that a beautiful day.
It was a nice day.
I'm sunburnt, yeah.
Really? You're sunburnt?
Yep.
I can see you got a little color.
Yeah, and
it's
my
good radio.
Forearms, yeah.
But I can see you.
What a nice Sunday.
Yeah. That was beautiful.
I think everyone
How many
was,
of you sat in a driveway on lawn chairs? Anybody
That's
else?
Exactly what I
We were in a driveway, but we were on a deck.
I sat in the back patio with an ice cold glass of iced tea. It was fantastic.
Oh, wow. That sounds like a brilliant Easter. Yeah, I mean, the advantage of it being late is that it was like 70 degrees as opposed to... But it snowed a little bit on...
Well, like the day before, it was like 41.
Like Friday and Saturday were horrible.
Yeah, well, awful depressing days. Like Saturday was peak depression. April, it really is.
It snowed a little bit.
Yeah, like, yeah. I don't know what even day it is. April 21st, and it's like snowing and raining, and it's just horrible. What are we going to do today? I don't know, sit here and watch.
What's tomorrow going to be like, I don't know, 71 and nice?
Yeah, yeah. Makes no sense.
Turn all the lights off and stare out the window.
That's a little weather talk for you to start off our show about sports.
Classic.
But we got the draft coming up, guys.
Sure do.
Is this draft week?
It is draft week.
Like my Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's not.
This is normally...
Like, I don't care about this at all.
The, like, best week for Browns fans.
So, all those for me, honestly, right, I'm more looking forward to Sunday.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Battle of Winterfell.
Oh, yes. You're talking about Game of Thrones.
So, you guys who actually have a first-round pick, what are you most excited for this weekend?
Do you not have
Avengers included?
You don't have a first-round pick?
Okay, no. So can you preface, first off, let's set the stage for this epic week for nerds slash sports fans.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Okay, Garmin, I'll let you do it, because I think you know what is going on more than I do, but I think we both do.
Well, Garmin's got his itinerary.
NHL playoffs.
He's got it all.
Yeah, the Blue Jackets.
Well, I literally, like, for the first time ever, took the Friday off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know how long they've been doing the Thursday night first round.
So we got Thursday night, we got first round of
First round of the NFL draft,
which is a primetime event.
And we have a pretty pivotal pick, you know, a franchise-altering pick, potentially.
Yeah.
Depending. What do you mean, yeah? Why you gotta start
well,
off?
Well, it's not... It only is, right, if it's a quarterback.
Well,
right?
No, yeah.
It's not even dead set on that. So.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine. But, I mean, like, even if it's, like, a one of the linebackers, like, that could be...
Yeah.
If it's, like, something good. Basically...
We should get a good player.
It's the new regime's first pick.
I wish we would have lost a couple more games last year.
When you say,
yeah, well,
I'll save it. Sorry.
Okay.
What?
Yeah, set the stage. Keep setting the stage. I keep interrupting.
Well, anyway, so I took
What's
that,
Friday night?
I took the Friday off. Friday night, I'm seeing Avengers Endgame.
Okay.
Which has been like 22 movies in the making and like 12 years in the making.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
I haven't decided when I'm going to see it yet.
Did you like see today? It came out that they've already made $120 million.
Just read that.
In pre-sale tickets?
In pre-sale tickets alone.
Wow.
Like they're on track to like crush probably, I think, the
I heard weekend. $800 million in the first weekend.
Is projected
worldwide.
Yeah.
Because I think they're calling for like three here.
What's the record?
I think probably the last Star
first,
Wars.
That'd be
Force
the
Awakens.
Record for the weekend if they be, if
800, they get 800 on a weekend.
I believe so, yes.
Wow.
But that's worldwide.
Yes.
Domestic, it's like, I think Force Awakens owns it with like 270 something.
Okay. And Saturday, what's Saturday?
The Battle of Winterfell.
Oh, that's
an hour
Sunday.
And 22 minutes.
Saturday, we got more draft, right?
Yes.
Saturday.
More draft. More.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday draft.
Yeah.
And then Sunday night, Game of Thrones finale. Or not finale, but a battle we've been waiting for.
But it's
10 years.
10 years in the making.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's being well. We'll talk about Game of Thrones later. But it is.
Super exciting.
Very. It's being set up very nicely. So, I want to dive into the draft a little bit with you guys.
Cool.
Get some hard hitting analysis.
Let's take a break first.
Before we dive head
I like
first.
It. Yep. Yeah. Let's get a little break, and we'll be back with some draft talk.
Hello, this is Jackie Brewing from Performance Physical Therapy. Are you looking for a fast track to recovery? Is your pain preventing you from achieving your highest level of performance? Then don't let a minor ache turn into a major injury. Our specialized physical therapists at Performance Physical Therapy and Wellness will help you increase your power and your strength as well as your speed in order for you to get back into the game. Located at 1100 Commerce Street in Fort Recovery, right across from Ace Hardware. Give us a call at 419-763-1464 to schedule your evaluation. Performance Physical Therapy and Wellness, your fast track to recovery.
This is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern, and I want to invite you to stop in for our delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials. Starting at 11 o'clock Monday through Friday, Brick Street Tavern features Mystery Meal Monday, Meatloaf Tuesday, Roasted Chicken Wednesday, Casserole Thursday, and on Friday you can choose from our soup and salad bar or our famous half-pound hand-patted cheeseburger. We also offer supper specials on Friday and Saturday evening, including steak and all-you-can-eat roasted chicken, both complemented with our large salad bar, choice of potato, and a honey roll. Stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern and enjoy some great home cooking.
My plan was to stay for 5 years. I would get my experience, then I would move on and do bigger and better things.
At Cooper Farms, we're growing, and we want you to grow with us.
5 years came and went, and I really had no reason to leave. I've been here 30 years. I'm the accounting manager, and I don't have a big accounting background. It's just they've seen me grow over the years.
To see our open hourly and management positions, visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
War Wrestling and C-Town Wings presents Slams for Shane on Saturday, May 11th at Coldwater High School. All proceeds from this huge professional wrestling event will go to the Shane Strong benefit. Doors open at 5:30. Bell time for the first match is at 7 o'clock. Get your tickets in advance at warwrestling.com with reserved floor seats only $15 and general admission tickets $10 apiece or 4 for 30. Concessions will be available throughout the entire night. There will be a huge 50-50 drawing, and there will also be some great raffle prizes, including items from the Cincinnati Reds, Cleveland Cavaliers, the Cincinnati Zoo, and the Dayton Dragons. Don't miss it as War Wrestling and C-Town Wings present Slams for Shane on Saturday, May 11th, 7 p.m. at Coldwater High School. All proceeds benefit Shane Homan. Get your tickets now before it's too late at warwrestling.com.
It's the practice squad. Give us a call, 419-516-0702. We can talk about anything you want to talk about. Game of Thrones, draft talk, or whatever. How your day's going.
Yep.
And follow us on Twitter at FR Practice Squad.
It's a dangerous path.
Yeah, I mean, it's whatever. It's open mic night, so give us your limited fakes, too, if you want any fake impressions, right? Because we're going to totally get those. Draft talk. Draft is Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Franchise-altering pick, Garmin says, that the Bengals have.
Kind of. I mean, it's the situation. It's like it's a new regime.
So let's talk about... Hey, go ahead.
Well, why is this year franchise-altering than like last year?
Well, because...
The year before that was.
I guess maybe
because they're still on the Andy Dalton train.
New coach and higher pick.
Right, and also like I guess maybe I don't know about franchise altering, but I guess the more of the change, the changing of the guard. Like if we draft a quarterback first round, like we're preparing for the next step of the franchise.
But isn't the person calling the shots the same person that has been for the past couple years?
Well, it depends on what they let Zach Taylor do.
Tobin, yeah.
He doesn't have all of it. I mean, Marvin was a lot. Kenny Blackburn was a lot. And my thing is, like, if you buy into the factor, like, what Cardinals are doing with Cliff Kingsbury, right? Like, everyone's like, well, they got to take Kyler Murray because it fits his system.
Yeah.
Well, if Zach Taylor is supposed to be, like, a quarterback guru, why not let him make the pick? Like, I think he should have a large say in who we take.
I agree.
It's his system.
It's just that the Bengals will allow that.
Yeah. And that's the only question.
Because they're very...
That would be what... a logical team would do.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Like, let the coach get his guy. Will the guy be there? Who's your guy?
Like, quarterback?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't want Drew Lock.
I really don't. I don't want Drew Lock or Daniel Jones that could end up coming back to haunt us, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Like, if it's not by some miracle, Kyler Murray, but it won't be.
The guys I really want,
or
like,
I'll Haskins.
Take, so, I'll is everybody off the Dalton train? Is any person in the media or any other fans on still on the Dalton train?
No.
In what sense? Like, I want him to be...
They don't want a quarterback.
Oh.
Or they'd be furious.
I can say there's been... I've seen a lot of Bengals guys do, like, polls, and it's been all quarterback talk.
I'd be
there's
fine
been
if they so don't much take quarterback. Because I think no matter what, Dalton's playing this year out in...
Yeah, for sure. I think so,
and
too.
I think... I don't know. So there's you can look at it two ways, I guess, because this year you're high enough where you can get a quarterback. So what happens if you don't draft a quarterback and then next year you're average and then you're not high enough again to get a quarterback? So that's hard. But also I would rather just see them. I mean, they could if they have a good draft, they could be competitive. It's not like they're not talented. They have talent.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, I mean, we were incredibly injury plagued.
Like, yeah.
Ridiculously.
I mean, I don't see him winning 9 games. I see him maybe winning 7, which is a horrible draft position to be in.
Yeah.
So it's like, but don't take a quarterback, just take a quarterback. Like, you have to like the guy.
Well, one way or the other, I would bet everything we take a quarterback within the first 3 rounds because all we have right now is Driscoll, and I think that we've seen what that is. So they got to take somebody.
If we don't take Haskins, I hope we wait and take a flyer on like Will Greer. Or,
that's what
I don't want Daniel Jones or Drew Lock.
Yeah. If I had my choices, I would say in this order, I would take Haskins, Murray, and Will Greer.
Like Haskins in front of Murray?
Yeah, because I don't know. Murray makes me nervous, one, because of his size, and obviously, like, he could be, like, electric for all I know, but what if he's in a situation, because he's kind of like a weird dude. What if he's like, I don't know if I want to play football anymore, and then bails and decides to play baseball? Yeah. I'm not saying that's possible. Like, I'm not saying he would do that, but it's definitely there. He's a weird
guy. Not only his height, but he's probably smaller than 5'10", and he's just, his frame's not that big,
right.
So he could be somewhat injury prone. If he's built on, you know, half of his game is running.
Yeah.
Where Baker's more thick, and he doesn't really have to run, so he's a little bit more protected in that sense, but if you're Kyler Murray, and half the reason you're so good is because you can run and you're fast, then you're screwed if you're taking 5 hits again.
Is it a done deal that he's going 1?
I've heard no.
I think it is.
Because
I think it is.
I'm sure I saw a thing come out that said Cardinals was not taking a quarterback first pick.
Will Brinson came out today and I wrote an article about
it. So I don't know if that's just him blowing smoke, just, you know, getting everything stirred up. But,
like, despite what
I think they're still up in the air.
That would just throw, like, I hope that happens because then it's like mayhem.
I don't think anybody knows what they're going to do.
I don't think they should, but I think it's done.
Like, I think deal. People forget they traded up to get Rosen last year.
Yeah. But when, you know, if you saw what you needed to or you didn't see what you wanted to,
right.
You can't not take a quarterback you think is going to be good because you took one last year.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, does he fit Kingsbury's system? Like, if you're going all in on that, you might as well.
Someone said it. Fitting like it, a good fit for Kingsbury systems, but then they pulled up the stats of all of Kingsbury's quarterbacks, and it's like 5 rushes the past 3 years.
Yeah,
it's like not rushing quarterbacks.
And I know, not only that, but
does he have Pat Mahomes?
He had Pat Mahomes, Baker Mayfield, and that Brandon B. Webb. What's his name?
Who's with the Giants?
He had Baker before Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Before, because he was Texas Tech and they transferred.
Mm-hmm. Remember, there was like a riff, like. They don't like each other.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But also, I think there's kind of like this connection with him and Murray because I think he's been trying to recruit him since high school, like early on. Mm. He's already come out, and I think it was so stupid to come out and say like, oh yeah, if we get the first pick, like this is way like before, like we'll definitely take Kyler Murray if it was up to me. And I'm like, okay, well now you've already created a rift in your locker room if you don't take him.
He doesn't seem like
that was when he was coach. Offensive coordinator for 2 weeks for the USC when he said that.
Right, I know, so. But now that's what I'm saying. Like it was back then, but now he's with Arizona.
I forgot he was a coordinator for USC for 2 weeks.
Yeah, for a
hot not minute. Even a head coach.
Nope.
A coordinator.
Yeah. I think there's a deal for him to be the head coach. Because they have like Clay Helton.
Yeah.
And I think they were kind of.
Probably would have worked.
This is like a year.
Yeah.
And then you get promoted.
Leapfrog into it. But the thing like this year with this draft, especially with what the Cardinals are doing, like it's really kind of interesting because I really don't think anyone knows what anyone's doing. Like more so than in the past couple years. Like Peter King said he's got a guy a GM that usually almost always tells him stuff. But he said this year when Peter King went to him, he was like, no, I'm not telling you anything. He's like, GMs are just a bunch of frightened rabbits. No one wants to say anything to be like, get to show their hand.
The last year was way worse with that. With like 5 quarterbacks going in the top 10.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this year I think most people know Kyler Murray's going number 1. And any talk that he's not is smoke.
Oh, yeah. Well, in the past, like, the last 2 weeks, like, you can't really believe what anyone's saying because they're trying to change style like, of who's going.
The Cardinals didn't put Josh Rosen in their, like, annual, like, promo.
Yeah.
And then Kyler Murray has been canceling visits.
Yeah. So it all leads up that it adds up.
Or I bet Oakland, if Oakland maybe will trade up or get him at four, but I doubt he gets past Oakland at four.
So, like, what do you think the odds are?
Yeah.
What do you think the odds are that Arizona's already told Kyler Murray, hey, we're taking you, but the NFL's like, don't let that leak because we want people to be like, probably talk about us constantly.
Pretty high.
Probably.
That's the most likely scenario.
That's right now, what I'm. But somebody's going to like pick a dumb pick and screw stuff up, and then it, like, who's the first team that's going to? Or is there going to be a player like Laremy Tunsil who has a gas mask
maybe
on? I don't know.
That falls the Bengals the there at 11.
Mortez Sweat or whatever. They're already talking about him falling.
Mm-hmm. He's the biggest boomer bust guy, I feel like.
But he's got a heart condition from what I hear. So,
yeah, but it's the same thing. Who had a heart condition like last year? Didn't someone? Or two
Miles
years
Jack
ago?
Had it like two or three years ago.
And he fell.
Oh, no, that Maurice Hurst had a heart condition. He fell like the third round.
He fell like big.
Has Miles Jack had a good career? Like,
yeah.
He's been okay?
Mm-hmm. I think 2 years ago he was like a Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, let's get specific on teams. So we'll start with the Bengals. Garmin, who's your most wanted pick? If there's like one dream scenario at 11, who do you want?
Well, I'm really, really obviously intrigued by the quarterbacks.
Production.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really intrigued by the quarterbacks, but I feel like if Devin White is there, it's an absolute no-brainer. Like, you have to take him.
Yeah. No way.
With what we need.
You don't like Devin White?
No, he's not going to be there.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, that people are saying that. My fear is I don't know how I feel about Devin Bush.
Yeah.
Like, I listened to Lewis Riddick today, and Lewis Riddick says that he thinks that Devin Bush...
You can trust him.
...is the best player in the draft.
Devin Bush?
Yeah, that's what he thinks.
Oh, Lou Riddick, man. But you don't like Lou Riddick?
No, I do.
Okay.
I think a lot of people like him.
Yeah, I think he's good.
Devin Bush is good.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know.
Now he won't be there at 11 because Lou Riddick said it.
Right. People say, so he's...
Yeah, but support. Then someone else on ESPN said that Devin White could be... your team's leader for the next decade, right off the bat. Yep. So yeah,
someone's going to say, oh, I would have picked him at 15, but that's a reach at 11.
But then I also kind of like the idea of doing, like, I'm not saying it's going to work out exactly the same, but I've said it before, I like the idea of Andy's going to be the starter next year no matter what. So if you draft Haskins, let him sit behind him, learn the system, and then trade Dalton or let him go, and then let Haskins take over next year. Like, we've talked about this before. Haskins is what Mike Brown loves. He likes those huge dudes who can chuck it.
Tall pocket passers.
Yes, that can chuck it like a mile.
It won't matter if we don't have an offensive line.
Right, and it doesn't matter anyway because Mike doesn't make the picks.
Well, that's
anymore.
Fine. That's why you don't play him.
Yeah. I'm fine. I my nightmare scenario is like...
What's your dream scenario?
That we get Devin White. Oh, sorry. That we get Devin White. Or Devin Bush. I want one of the two Devins. If they fall through, I'm good with like any of the tackles. Dwan Taylor, Andre Dillard, or who's the guy from Alabama? I think, keep forgetting his name.
Big Alabama guy.
Yeah.
Williams? Yeah.
No, it's Jonah Williams.
Yeah.
So I'd be cool with either of those because even though we paid Bobby Hart $20 million, he's a trash can. So... they need an upgrade. So.
I kind of like, for me, I kind of like some of the tackles that like are a little bit later.
I'm good putting together just a decent best player available draft, and then we'll probably suck anyway, and we'll get a quarterback next.
So
year.
What pick would piss you off?
I don't know.
Daniel Jones, or like Drew Lock.
I don't want nightmare. Is like Daniel Jones.
Like if those three quarterbacks are there and we pass on Haskins and take one of those guys, I'm going to be kind of
because at least Drew Lock has like the arm gunslinger, like, which is kind of fun. But Daniel Jones looks like he might put me to sleep.
I've heard people say that like, he reminds me of Peyton Manning at this point. And I'm like, what?
No.
Yeah. If that's the case, then why are we not taking him number one?
If you watch some of his throws, like, or during tape from Duke, like, he misses, like, misreading plays. Like, he throws it to the person that's, like, getting triple covered. Like, you shouldn't be throwing it.
Yeah.
He's like, he doesn't look, you know, he just kind of zones on one person. And just
it's
goes.
So great not watching quarterback highlights.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I've watched a ton. Like, I've heard, like, that Ryan Finley float around a lot from NC State.
Yep.
But for me, like, my ideal would be getting one of the Devins at early, and then second, taking like Greer. I really like Greer because, like you say, watching all the highlights and stuff, like Drew Lock and Daniel Jones specifically, and like I said, I know it's highlights, but when they got like wide open dudes, they shorted it and like it could be a touchdown, but it says like a 50-yard gain. But like Will Greer just drops stuff in a bucket. Like I think PFF has him rated as like the third best quarterback overall in the draft.
Why is he not up there with the other two?
I think because they
arm strength, hand size.
No, it's not that. I think because we're starting to get away from the stigma. Kind of
bad attitude.
We're starting to get away from the stigma a little bit, but the air raid offense, like a lot of people don't like that yet in college. Like he did so much stuff from the shotgun. Like,
realistically,
is the system the reason why?
I think it's because the division that they're in. You know, this was a Big 12.
Yeah,
this is kind of like,
or is it like the West Virginia quarterback?
Yeah, well, Mahomes worked. You know, in the Big 12.
But you need the right quarter. You need the right coach to fall in love with you to, like, go after you.
It's kind of fun to go back and look at some of the scouts, what they've said about, like, Patrick Mahomes and some of these guys. Like, there was a thing I was listening to today where they're reading old scout reviews on Pat Mahomes saying, like, he might not ever be ready. He's got, like, he throws into triple coverage all the time. Like, he has a weird throwing motion.
And here he is, sits out a year, then he's back, and he's the best quarterback in the league, pretty much.
I don't think they need a tight end, but I could see T.J. Hockenson. Iowa.
Yeah.
I
think they need a tight end.
Noah Fant, but Noah Fant's probably too early. I think Hawkinson's better of the two.
Yeah. Well, he is, but Fant will probably.
You never know.
Both of those will be first rounders, possibly.
I think so.
So, and because, you know, Eifert, you don't know what you're going to get, and then Uzama's not really a pass catcher.
He's a steady Eddie, but he's not the guy.
So you can see that. I'm good with a tackle. I don't want Rashawn Gary.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's
a boomer bust.
Yeah. I mean, he's
like, I would recruited. Be happy he's if really I was athletic. Like picking like 20 and he fell. Yeah. That'd be a good, like,
but value, I don't want him at 11. And I don't want the Clemson guy at 11.
He's either going to be like really good or not.
Yeah.
Is that how it's going to work?
Definition of boomer bust.
Usually. I mean, that's pretty much
analysis, right?
He really good.
Be better or not.
Or he won't.
Yeah.
And I don't know who the Clemson tackle is.
Yeah, I got two of them.
Christian Wilkins.
Yes.
Wilkins.
I wanted him at Lawrence. 17, but I wouldn't take him.
Florida State has Ed Rusher, Burns. I've heard
Brian
of him.
Burns.
Brian Burns. He's mocked to the Bengals a lot.
What's the Alabama kid?
Quinnen Williams.
Yeah, that's the one I hear most people say is like the most.
He'll not miss guy.
Like, you won't. Yeah. There's less.
But he'll be probably top five.
He won't be there.
He'll probably be with the 49ers, I think.
Yeah.
I think they got second pick.
So, real quick, what's your prediction, Garmin? Who do they take?
Man. BPA.
Which would be?
I mean, say a name, man.
One name.
Put your name on it.
One name only.
Okay, half shot. I'm taking
the say Devin Bush. If he's there. So that's the Bengals.
All right, Philly, wait. Let's make predictions. Philly, you got to make a prediction for the Bengals.
For the Bengals?
Yep.
Who they're going to get?
Yep.
I'm going to go with Haskins, too.
Yeah.
I think he's going to fall, or he's going to get there, and I think they're going to take him.
I'm cool with Haskins. I just don't see it happen. It could happen. I don't know. I just...
Someone's going to trade up.
Yeah. I just think it doesn't... Every time we get hyped about it, it doesn't happen, so I don't know. I would be excited if they got him.
There's so much. He's like fluctuating so much, and that's what leads me to believe that people are BSing.
All the talk today was like going to the Giants.
Yes.
So,
but all the talk today was what?
He's going to the Giants.
I've heard a lot with Daniel Jones because Daniel Jones works out with Eli, and those guys have a relationship or whatever.
See, I heard that too, and they were gonna pick someone that was their first or sixth or whatever. They're gonna get like a guy that they need, a positional player, and then with the Browns pick, they would get Daniel Jones there because no one would probably take him.
So you said who?
Haskins.
Who'd you say, Dork?
I honestly kind of want Haskins to go there because I think he'll be good, and I would like for him to.
And I could root for him.
Yeah,
could be for me.
I don't want to be root too good, obviously, Bengals, but I think he'll be pretty good.
You can just see him.
He would look cool in a Bengals uniform.
Yeah, I mean, he seems like a smart kid.
The other thing, too, is like I keep forgetting like everybody else in the division is ready for that next step franchise quarterback-wise. Like, we need to do that, too.
We got Andy Dalton.
Wait, Steelers are not.
You don't think Mason Rudolph could be the potential future for them?
Nope.
I don't know.
If we'd have drafted him last year, I'd be
because you wanted him.
Yeah. We were literally going to draft
him. The last two years, he got drafted 2 years ago, didn't he? Or was it last year?
Last year.
Okay.
Because prediction, Jordan.
Last year, you said, he was like, if I had choices of two quarterbacks, it would have been...
Name one. You can name college.
Dillard.
He's from Washington State. I think he's the best one because I watch a lot of tape. No, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Up late nights with Liam watching film.
Yeah. Because I do think your guys' strategy... and I don't say there's nothing wrong with this, is like,
be cheap and hope we get lucky.
No, what's Mel Kiper's big board say? And like, who's ever left, and Dillard's on there, and then you guys are like, yeah.
That's probably noise.
Like, you'll be like, Mike Brown will be sitting in the back of the room, and he'll just like be watching Kiper's big board. Who's that kid?
Yeah.
He's still there. Kiper likes him.
I think he, I think he falls asleep and he wakes up right before. He's like, oh, yeah,
Dillard.
That guy.
Yeah.
All right, Philly, we're going to change the topic to some Titans. Titans have what pick in the draft?
We have 19.
Ooh, 19.
You're going to stay up.
Yeah, you're going to have.
I usually watch the whole first round anyways.
Who they been mocking to the Titans?
Anybody and everybody. Out? I mean,
BPA?
Christian Wilkins, but I don't think he'll be there. They have his, you know, he can't really go off of any of these mock drafts because they have, like, they have that Brian Burns there. He'll be gone before then.
Especially, like, where you guys are at.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a tough spot.
Do you need a corner?
If he gets that far, that'd be nice.
Do we need a corner?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we'll probably take one, but I don't think we'll take it
first
because we're going to look defensive tackle or edge rusher, I think, will be our main. And if, I don't know. I see, like, three scenarios. Or four, whatever. If there's like a, they have like a five guys that are probably going to be picked before 19. And if one of them fall,
you only know, five guys will be picked before 19.
The people
that they're targeting,
that they would like to have that ain't going to be there. So like, let's just put like Ed Oliver. Say he falls to like 12 or whatever. It could happen.
Then the Bengals take him.
Then, or, yeah.
That's my dream.
But say he falls and John Robinson will be like, yes, we want him. So they're going to, like he said, he's willing to trade to get a guy that he really wants. And that would probably be, like, I would love that scenario. If he would have fall, we would trade up to get him.
Yeah.
Because I think he, I don't know, I think he's going to be good.
I think he'll be good, too.
So, but I don't know. What they have is getting tight ends, which I really don't want. I'm more, if we got a defensive tackle that we want, get him, or an edge rusher, those are the first two I want. Then if not, I'd fall to a wide receiver.
DK?
No. I'd rather have, like, Hollywood Brown.
Hollywood Brown.
Or,
I didn't know, is that his nickname the whole time, or is that just recent?
No. Yeah.
It's been, yep. What's his real first name?
Marquise.
That's right. Is he Oklahoma?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So
Hollywood Brown.
I'd like to have him or that, what's that, McKinney Harry from Arizona State. I don't know if I said that.
Nikhil.
Yeah.
He looks real
good. I would like to have him.
Akeem Butler.
Then
he's probably, that'd be a reach.
At 11?
Yeah, at 11. No, at 19.
19?
Yeah. Oh. I think he's projected like
second rounder.
But then again, we could trade back. Say if everybody's gone and we don't like, we'll trade back.
You're talking like a GM.
I know. It's because
he's sitting here like
thumbs open. There's so many like different, because we only have six picks.
Is there somebody you don't want? Who's your least?
You have six picks the whole draft?
Yes.
We have six in the sixth round.
So
yeah, we have the second most.
I can see
him
trading back and going after like an offensive guard and getting more picks to, you know, get more draft capital.
Is there someone you really don't want that you've seen? Or are you down that
would you
area?
Take Rashawn Gary at 19?
Rashawn Gary at 19? Yeah.
Like, who, if the Titans picked, would make you make the Philly grumpy face?
Like, I don't...
That guy.
I don't know. Like,
quarterback.
And realistically, if they get a quarterback first round, I mean, they said that they're going to draft a quarterback, but I feel like that's going to be, like, third round earliest, maybe fourth round. So, I mean, I'd be kind of like, what, you know, what the hell? But
you guys scoop up Daniel Jones,
especially him.
Watch those two be amazing, but they just don't seem exciting to me.
But
yeah, they'll be the best quarterbacks.
They will. If we went tight end first round 19, I don't think I'd be really happy about that.
I've heard some of that though, because what, Delaney's 1,000.
Yeah, but he's got two more years with us, and our backup tight ends, I mean, yeah, they're not Delaney Walker, but, I mean, they proved last year that they can they can do what they need to do to, you know.
Because, like, I've heard Fant could be around that range, but he seems more of, like, not like a traditional
tight end. I've seen all three of them.
He's, like, really super athletic receiver, right?
Yeah, he's the one that ran, like, what, the 4.4?
Where did he play in college?
Iowa.
Him and
Iowa.
They played together. I've seen all mock drafts, the both Iowa tight ends and even that Irv Smith Jr. from Alabama, us getting him, too. So
He's kind of small, too, though. And
Yeah, he's more of a pass catching tight end.
So. He's a good player. Like I forgot about him.
That Hawkinson is like the all around kind of like
the Hawkinson. Type. Yeah, like he's 6'5" and he's built and he can block. Like that's your blocking and catching.
Dallas Clark.
Then that
the gritty guy.
Then
the guy who always annoys you the whole game.
Yeah.
Who is the Pittsburgh Steelers tight end forever?
Oh, Heath Miller.
Every third down.
Third and five.
Yeah. 7 yard catch.
Then you have.
I want to throw a remote through the TV.
Smith Jr. They're more of their pass catching or whatever. So
I just got mad about Heath Miller. Sorry. I'm not angry at Heath Miller.
I don't think I'd be too mad if they did go tight end, but I'd just kind of be like, I want defense.
Yeah.
Because our middle, all we have is Drell Casey, and really our other defensive tackles are kind of just bodies there. So
warm bodies.
I'd be happy with actually
whites in the Night King's army.
Oh yeah.
If
they're cold bodies though.
If that Christian Wilkins is there at 19 and we take him, I'll be happy with that.
All right. So put your name on so
who are you picking?
Yeah. Prediction.
I'm gonna go with Clemson, Christian Wilkins.
I'll go with Brian Burns. Is it Brian Burns?
Yep.
I'm going with him. He's gonna fall.
You guys Burns. What do I call him? B. Burns.
Garmin. I want to say Fant, but if Hawkinson's there, I think you guys take him.
Yeah, tight end's probably a pretty good bet.
Give Mariota a little 19 safety valve.
Seems like best tight end available pick range. Mm-hmm. Where did the Bengals get Eifert?
Right around that, back when we were drafting.
Like 17, wasn't it?
I think he was like 21.
Okay, yeah.
That's super.
Because they never even had him in for a visit that year.
No.
That was Mike Brown watching Kuiper's big board. They're like, he's still there?
That Eifert kid from Notre Dame. I like that play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Christian Wilkins is a good pick, so I'll say Christian Wilkins.
There's a lot of those guys that, if you need that this year, stacked at that position.
Yeah, D-tackle. Line. So. Do we need to talk about the Browns pick?
Not really. I don't think we trade back in the first round. First pick is 49.
You don't think your GM's going to do magic tricks?
So when you win the Super Bowl next year, you
get back in the first round for giving up a second round pick because of something dumb will that happen? Because you guys don't give up anything and you guys get everything.
I think John Dorsey's just chomping gum right now, trying to come up with some way to get
He's
back.
Scheming.
Probably.
He's just scheming.
He's absolutely scheming.
We're going to be watching the draft, and at some point, Schefter's going to be like, I'm hearing the Browns are looking to sneak in.
They're going
to
say that just so, yeah.
They traded two six-round picks.
The Browns are making calls.
By the way, how good is Schefter at his job?
He's pretty good.
I think he's pretty good at his job.
I couldn't...
he'd be annoying. I bet he's goofy.
He's super goofy.
I want to know how many phones he actually has. He's just got to have, pocketfuls. Just, 10.
And the other thing, I'm I don't know why I was thinking about this day because I was thinking that Will Brinson came out with that article about the Arizona not taking Kyler Murray. Those kind of guys, how do they get all their connections?
Do you just word of mouth?
Do you just go to the teams and be like, hey, want to help me out? Give me your number.
Off the record, can you give me stuff and I won't quote you and blah, blah.
I know it's not football, but Woj. Woj could literally tell you the three picks before every draft.
Yeah. And I hate it because it's
he stopped doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're excited for the draft. It's coming up. We're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the last season of Game of Thrones. There's been two episodes since our last show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we'll recap those and check on our predictions and tell you what we're thinking about it. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for great food fast? Call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274 and let them do the cooking. You want wings, but the kids want pizza? No problem. Everybody can get what they want. Wings, pizza, great sandwiches, subs, fried goodies. Just call them, then drive through and pick it up. And call Miracle Lanes to reserve your lanes for your kid's birthday party or other get-together. Just call them at 375-4274 now and get your party booked. And be sure to stop out on Friday at lunch for their great pizza and wing buffet. Great food and lots of fun at Miracle Lanes. Stop out or call them at 375-4274. Klingtron & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingtronandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingtron & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Hello, this is Sean McCoy, the owner at Greek's Pizzeria in Portland, Indiana. What's your favorite pizza at Greek's? Greek special, gourmet meat, chicken club, or just a good old pepperoni pizza? All featuring dough and sauce made fresh daily, along with vegetables freshly sliced. Stop over and visit us and get one of your favorites. Or try one of our pastas, salads, pizzas, appetizers, our famous breadsticks, or even our wings. And those will go nicely with our selection of draft beers, bottled beers, wine, and our mixed drinks. If you don't have a favorite yet, stop by and try our buffet. We run it for lunch every Sunday through Friday, 11 to 1, and every Tuesday and Wednesday night, 5 to 8. We're family friendly, so bring the whole gang. And don't forget, on Tuesdays, seniors are $1 off our buffet, and on Wednesdays, kids 10 and under eat free for the buffet. For some of the best pizza anywhere, head over to Greek's in Portland. We're on the north end of Meridian Street.
Here are the baseball games coming up this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, our Indians will travel to Marion Local for an MAC game. Then on Thursday, our Indians will host the St. Henry Redskins in another big MAC game, hoping to avenge a non-league loss the first week of the season. Friday is the prom, so no games this week on Friday or Saturday. Only two games scheduled this week, and they're both league games. Tomorrow at Marion Local. Thursday, St. Henry at home. It's getting near the end of the regular season. Get out to as many games as you can to support our Indians. But if you can't get to all the games, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
Yeah, that was a little tidbit. That was nice on the opener.
They're getting prepared.
Yeah. Do you think that'll stop anything?
I think so.
Stop what?
There's going to be like a lot of running things at it.
I mean, it's definitely going to stop some of them.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Not many.
I don't think they go around stuff. They're just like, we're going to walk through it.
Yeah. I mean, shouldn't they build like a moat?
Yeah. Can't they just freeze it?
Yeah, but then it'll just freeze it.
Mm. Yeah, Jordan.
And water probably freezes.
They didn't have enough time to build the moat.
Well, then explain winter is there.
The so second it's below episode.
That's a good point.
When they're on
the little patch and then nobody moves. Yeah. When they just stand there for a whole day.
I like where are you going to get like, water out when it's below zero?
They could have just frozen.
Yeah.
Well,
then they just did that.
Because it was cinematically.
They had to wait for Daenerys to get there.
Well, there was no big bad White Walkers. It was only the dead white guys. So they couldn't.
Right. And I don't know if they.
That was the biggest.
Where are they
going to
get the water from?
Yeah, that was kind of a weird.
The time, like, okay, so within the day.
By the way, we're talking about Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
It was last Sunday. Well, it's every Sunday for the next four more weeks.
Mm, unbelievable.
And it's amazing. It's the best show ever. But keep your thought going.
We were kind of complaining about the time timeline. Jumps.
No,
yeah,
David
the timeline.
Was complaining. I had no
complaints about everything.
But that one is super sketchy.
Which one? Gendry?
Yeah.
Well, because one, he's the fastest.
Okay, but then he had to send a raven. The raven had to go to Dragonstone. She had to fly the dragon from Dragonstone to past wherever they are, past
the wall
within a day.
Yep, didn't happen. It's not possible.
No, yeah, I mean, yeah.
That's the biggest question.
We don't know how far Dragonstone is away from.
Okay, well, if it's not possible, then how is it taking
4 years for them to get
white? Yeah.
Okay, so this is obviously a cop out. But if you want to complain about how long it takes her to get from point A to point B, then let's start complaining about, well, dragons aren't real. Why are the walkers?
No, I'm not going
anything?
To.
That's what I'm saying. So let's just enjoy what it is. Like, we got to watch dragons fight white walkers and a dragon get speared out of the sky. And we're like, how'd you get there so fast? I'm like, look at all this battle. And everyone's like, well, I don't know. I feel like it should have took maybe 2 days.
Dumb.
Like, I don't want that to be three episodes.
I do.
Yeah, I wish they had, like, two more seasons. Just so they could do more stuff. But it's going to be
anyway, epic. Yeah.
Let's
talk about the good, I guess.
Yeah, let's talk about the good. Anyone want to, like, take the lead on this?
So, let's recap the first episode.
I already forget it. So,
boring.
First
episode. I mean, it's a lot of people coming, right? The army.
Showing up to Winterfell.
Marches to Winterfell.
Basically, the first episode was just a big, like, family reunion. Yeah,
so, what's
seeing people that.
What was your guys' thoughts?
Of the first episode?
Of the first episode.
Of, I can't.
Of all the meetings, like, you got Samwell, you got Arya and Jon.
My favorites right
Danny
now.
Danny and Sansa.
are every time some new character meets Bran, and they're like, hey, Bran, how's it going? They haven't seen him since he's become the Three-Eyed Raven.
I'm the Three-Eyed Raven now.
Oh, hey, Bran, how
I'm
are you?
I'm not Bran.
I'm not Bran, really. Like, okay, well, you could just say hi.
They'll say something weird from their past, and they're
He's creepy.
What did he drop?
There's some really good memes of him, just like,
oh, the things you do for love.
Things you do for love. He's like, oh, that's what I said when I pushed you out the window.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Chaos is
that was like Jamie coming at the end.
Yeah,
yeah.
I guess the biggest thing for the first episode for me was, and I didn't catch it until after later that week. Then I read it that when John found out about his real mother when he was at Ned Stark's grave or whatever.
Yeah,
and if you remember from the first season, he was trying to ask Ned about his mom, and he's like, "The next time we see each other, I'll tell you about my mom." Or your mom. Yeah. And it was just kind of funny how they stick with that, you know.
Standing right next to his dad's grave, right?
Yeah. And that's when Sam totally tells him.
Do you guys remember, this is not talking about the first episode, but do you remember when Daenerys is in the House of the Undying or whatever?
Yeah.
And she has that,
like, the vision.
Vision.
Yeah.
And the throne is like all cold and
like the roof's caved in.
That's gonna be something, right?
Yeah. So it would almost, to Garvin's earlier point off air, I mean, the army of the dead pretty much has to march on
King's Landing.
Yes. Right.
If they don't, it's going to be... You're right.
The White Walkers are going.
I know
all
that's
way to
not
King's
what
Landing.
You think, well, but I think that basically David suggested that what if they kill the Night King in the next episode?
Well,
and the last three are all just them trying to take the Iron Throne.
Not going
to
happen.
And
like, we did every, a bad job recapping the first episode.
Every
sorry.
Line. Sorry, let's fault. Just go off to whatever. Yeah. Let's see where it takes us. Every line has to be, you know, they have not very much time, so every line has to be like pretty crucial.
Right.
And when Yara got saved, and she's like, hey, I'm going back to the Iron Islands. I'll be there if you guys need, like, to retreat.
So, yeah.
So they're going to retreat back to the Iron Islands.
She's going to be there.
That's
going
to happen.
Yeah. You're right.
So they're going to lose. They're going to retreat.
Where's the Iron Islands compared to Winterfell?
It looks cold. So it's got to be north-ish.
It's on the west side of it.
It's like Seattle of Westeros.
Exactly.
Or Vancouver.
It's always raining.
I think it's on the west side, right?
No sunshine at all.
I don't even know about Vancouver. It's probably more just like...
Vancouver's a bunch of hippies.
Pacific Northwest.
You got vampires.
Or it could be on the east side.
Dragonstone. A bunch of like flannel-wearing hipsters in Portland.
Actually, I'll bring up the map here so we kind of have a good idea.
Because Jordan's saying, like, they're not going to just drop that line. And then we'll be like, well, I bet that doesn't play
down. Yeah, you'll never see her again.
And it's not really, I don't think it personally, it's like a huge deal if we don't really totally recap the first two episodes, because it's basically a lot of fluffer until like this.
All it was is just it's the build up for this third episode. There was this about a lot of reunions, people seeing each other that haven't seen each other for how many seasons.
And then Bran being weird.
Yeah, Bran being weird. Yeah. And it's just the army getting put together for the battle.
There was a little bit of hate on Twitter about the first two episodes for this, like, people that really don't enjoy the show and that just want action. I kind of was like acting like I was mad last night, but those first two episodes,
David,
you were mad.
Oh my god!
No,
you were more grumpy than your newborn son was at the end of that episode.
Yeah,
where's the White Walker? Why are they fighting?
You're right. I was kind of saying that, but I think
you were joking.
Those two episodes were great. Well,
did you go into it knowing the battle is going to be the third episode?
I figured. Yeah. I thought we might get like 15 minutes of it.
Garmin dropped some knowledge on us for the Battle of the Bastards. The guy that directed that episode is the same one doing episode three. So you obviously knew that the battle was going to be...
There's that voiceover with Jon Snow, like, where they're getting ready for the stuff on the outside. He's like, they don't tire. They don't blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, we might get, like, a little bit of battle here. But then they just went back. But the scene, like, in the fireplace... With Tyrion and
all those people just drinking wine.
That was fantastic.
That was a good scene.
Talking about how they're all going to die.
Like LeBron's barbershop in Westeros. Like where they're all just sitting around like talking about stories and stuff. And like
this is a good crew. You got
like
Thorman.
Everyone's like, you were the hero of this battle. Yeah, I was the hero of this battle.
Thorman might be the funniest character. Like how he told him the story, how he got his nickname or whatever.
Giant's Bane.
Yeah. Then he just chugs that whole
Horn. That... That's not real, right?
What? Well, he's lied several times.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you think that's fake?
Like, yeah, his story? It was kind of a dumb throwaway line, to be honest. But it was kind of funny.
It was funny. It's a funny story. Yeah. There's probably, like, some mistruth to it. Like, I bet there's a little bit, like, 5% truth to that story.
Yeah.
But, like, the thing with Game of Thrones that I love so much is, like, there's also, like, there's obviously, like, amazing action and battles where you get to watch dragons blow stuff up. But I enjoy watching certain characters just talk to the other characters.
Yeah, I do, too. It's great. I think it will be the best part of the show.
Yeah.
Is, as it goes down in history, is just the, like, good dialogue and, like, the good...
Like, how fun was it going back watching, like, The Hound with when he was with Arya?
They've done such a good job of attaching people to these characters that, like, you feel something when they, like... Oh man, those two haven't talked to each other forever, and, yes. And you're hooked on every word. I've never watched a show, maybe The Sopranos, maybe Breaking Bad, where like I don't want the show to end so bad. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll be watching it, I'll be like, man, there's like 30 minutes left.
And he literally, there's one point where he's like, there's 45 minutes left.
How are you going to get this and do that and do that? Yeah.
But it's just like, it goes so, because you're hooked on every single. Everything is just, there's never a slow episode.
Yep. And this is kind of like slightly off topic, but what are your guys' thoughts on the people who, whenever like Game of Thrones is on, they tweet like, so am I like the only one not watching Game of Thrones?
I love them.
I hate those, always.
Those people are the worst.
That's like everything.
It's like, they don't, like, who cares? Like, just because it's the most popular thing on the planet and you're not watching it, if you don't like it, that's fine. But don't be the one tool who's like, well, I'm going to tweet about how I'm not watching it because everyone's watching it.
Yeah, I agree. That's stupid, but that's how it is with everything.
I know. People on the internet.
It's like, there's always the person that's cool because they don't like the fad.
Yeah, it's like, oh, there's
always going to be an outsider.
And the second episode, we got Ghost, finally.
Yeah. Right? I was so excited when the Ghost showed up.
It's good to know he's still there.
He's still there.
He'll play a part.
He'll for sure. I don't think he'll
die.
I don't think he'll die.
You don't think so?
No.
He's going to be sitting next to the Iron Throne.
Oh, he's going to be sitting next to the Iron Throne.
He got Ghost.
There's going to be a scene where he's going to be running next to a dragon.
Is Jon going
to
win? Is he going to be like...
Well, okay, so let's do... You guys will do like theories, like updated theories.
Do you want to do a recap of whose characters are still alive? Because
everybody's
still in.
I can go over our teams if you want to.
Philly, would you like to defend your team?
Well,
I know you got some grief from Sam.
So just update on the teams.
Okay.
Well, first of all, I had two picks before. We were like, oh, let's just pick people who think you're going to survive. And hey, I'm like,
your number one pick has the biggest on.
Yeah, Jordan.
We'll go team by team.
Name the teams, and then whoever has that team has to give an update and defend their picks.
So let's start with you, David. So you have Daenerys.
Okay.
Tyrion.
Okay.
Cersei.
Okay.
The Hound.
Okay.
And Melisandre.
Okay.
They might forget
Daenerys.
Her.
Like, yeah. Daenerys is... got some bad juju going.
Bad juju.
Yeah, she's not looking good.
She's not looking like the best leader right now. She's like mad at Tyrion. She's mad at Sansa.
Doesn't really have a case for the throne.
Not anymore.
Yeah, the whole army at Winterfell is like everybody, like none of the people that are in charge are like clicking. They're just like throwing them each other on the bus.
That's why there's such a crazy story arc that like if she just dies...
She
has to die in like some crazy way because she's like had such a ridiculous like she's the main.
But if she dies, you know who else is going to die with her?
Oh, not the dragon.
Yeah.
Drogon.
Oh, yeah. Drogon's
like my low key.
I don't think I'm going to win. I think something's going to happen. I don't think she wins. But
Tyrion, I don't see a good outlook for Tyrion either.
No, my team's looking rough.
Cersei. The Hound is your best bet.
I think, quite honestly,
just in terms of living and having a good like.
And the red woman, is she going to show up sometime?
She will. She'll die though.
Well, remember her last line, one episode was like, "We have to die here," or whatever.
Who was she talking to?
Varys. Yeah. So she's going
to
come back.
She has
and
to
do
come
something.
Back and.
I have a feeling that, like, you know how everyone's kind of just being a giant...
So my team sucks.
Everyone's kind of being a giant bee.
Yeah.
Like, all the characters.
All right, okay, Garvin's team. Sorry, I want to go over your team.
Oh, okay.
Jon Snow.
Mm-hmm.
Looking good.
Yep.
Varys.
Yep.
Davos.
Yeah, Davos.
Theon. Had a comeback.
Yeah.
And Tormund.
Yeah.
Giant's Bane.
I don't know if I had to defend. I feel pretty good about all that.
Theon's going
to
die.
That's a pretty good team.
Theon will die defending Bran.
Yep.
But that would be
an honorable death.
Yeah, that was like, I felt really...
He's probably going to get a hit in.
Because like, when he says, like, I'll protect you.
I don't know if he'll die.
Yep, he's done.
Yeah.
Has he told anybody that the Iron Islands is open to them?
Yeah.
Oh, he told
right,
them.
Right, right.
As soon as he came. Because they asked where his sister was.
But they need... Like, I don't think they sell to the Iron Islands without him.
Without Theon?
Yeah.
Yeah, and if he's going to go, it's going to be this next episode. Because my thought was, if they were going to kill him, he'd be dead by now.
Yeah.
We were watching the episode, and he was like, I'll protect Bran. I looked at Dave, I was like, ooh, that doesn't look good.
Some of these guys got to die, though, right?
No, yeah.
So, yeah. I mean,
he could die.
Like, I think Jaime's gone. Like,
I think Davos could die.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jaime. Yeah.
I just have a
feeling. Bran.
All right, Philly, your team. Bran.
Yeah.
That's a good pick.
Night King.
Mm-hmm. That's looking good. You got two good picks there.
Arya, 18. No, that's a joke, sorry. Bronn. And Podrick.
Arya, 22.
That's a good team.
See, I feel... Podrick's probably going to die, but like you saw that little short scene where like he can fight now.
He's getting better. He's better.
Yeah.
And he can sing.
But like Garmin put it like perfectly. Like he's going to try to save like...
Brienne or something.
Yeah, Brienne, and he'll probably end up dying doing that.
You know what would be low-key awesome is if he's about ready to die, and then you know who wasn't in the last episode? Bronn comes and saves him at the last second.
Cersei wasn't in the last episode either.
I strongly think that Bronn is going to come out of nowhere to save one of the characters that we think is about to die.
Yeah.
With that crossbow.
I can see Arya starting. Well,
there's no way he kills
Jaime or Tyrion.
No, he's not going to, but I bet he's headed that way.
Yeah,
I bet
he'll show up.
I bet it'll be right before like Tyrion's about like we're like, oh man, Tyrion's not getting out of here, and then Bronn's like, ping.
Yeah. All right, Jordan, what's your team?
Sansa, Jaime, Samwell.
I don't think Samwell's gonna die.
Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, and Gendry.
Ooh, Gendry.
Gendry got lucky.
Gendry got something to live for now.
Yeah. See, I feel like one of them two are going to die. It's either going to be Arya Stark or Gendry.
Yeah. Gendry might die. Bran of Tarth might die, but I like her.
If she dies, I think it's going to be like the last episode. She's going to keep going.
You think so?
I don't think so. By the way, the crypts, they're not safe at all.
No.
Everyone's like, go to the crypts.
Oh, yeah.
And there's dead people down there?
Yeah.
You think we're going to get a dead Ned Stark?
That would be awesome.
See, that's the thing. Can they come back alive? Like, can he raise the people that have been buried for, like...
What's dead might never die.
Is that a theory?
Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. That they're going to...
Because they always, said the only people that can't be brought back is they burn the bodies. If you burn the bodies, like...
Yeah.
So there's a lot of dead bodies, like, down in that crypt that ain't burnt.
How they're close does a White Walker have to be to bring one of them back?
I don't know.
That's the key.
I don't know. Then you see all those White Walkers, those zombies, they're just all bones. It's all skeletons. So
but there was a shot in the trailer of Arya down in the...
Crypts running.
They think that's because people were...
I remember people making a big deal of that because they're like, she looks scared and she's so brave and cool. Like, she can't be scared.
But
it's going to be unless her headless father tries to kill her.
Yeah.
It's got to be amazing.
Well, and so what do you make of the reason essentially why all this is happening? So, you know, everyone's like, why are the White Walkers doing this and what do they want? Right. So we finally kind of got that answer.
Yeah, they want endless night.
Why do they want endless night?
Because they're tired.
Well, you know, what are they marching to, essentially?
Yeah.
And world.
So I guess they're marching to Bran and they want to kill the Three-Eyed Raven. But a lot of people thought it was the Wayward Tree. People are thinking there's something with the Wayward Tree.
Which is the tree in
Winterfell. The tree that's constantly in a state of fall.
Or some people think it's something with the Crypts, too.
That they want to get to?
There's something down there that they want to get to.
But the Night King, what's the story behind him again?
We don't know.
Well,
there's a lot of theories that he's a Stark. Some people think it's Bran.
I don't think that's good.
Wasn't he a human or something?
Yeah, he was.
And he got stabbed in the heart with dragon glass.
Yeah.
The children created the White Walkers to help defeat man.
Yeah.
And then they couldn't control them anymore. Backfired. And then they had to team up to stop them.
Yeah.
So if he had dragon glass... It is like he won't be able to be killed by that, right?
No, you can.
Really? And
yeah.
I think it's kind of like since I made
what was
him a White Walker, that's
show
like
where
the only thing I can kill him.
They looked at Bran and they were like, they said something. He was like, no one's ever tried. I can't
remember. Dragonfire.
Yeah.
What is Dragonfire? Oh, duh. I was thinking of wildfire.
It's fire, right? But it comes from the dragon.
Okay.
Yeah.
He said, can he be killed by dragonfire? Is that what they said?
Yeah.
And he said, no one's ever tried.
Okay. Because there hasn't been dragons around for how many years and plus.
Have you ever, thought about it now? Like, since they're south of the wall, like, they talk about how long it took to build that wall. and how long the Night's Watch has been defending that wall to ultimately
8,000
like,
years.
Yeah. And like, what, in the span of like a 30-second clip, they just demolish it and just walk right through all for nothing. Yep. There's only 3 Night's Watchmen left from the 8,000 years they've been there.
Yep.
Yeah. I just thought, I was like, that's crazy. That's such a waste.
So, Jordan, what's your theory on how's the battle going to go?
Well, I got a couple of theories.
Okay, throw them out.
It's going to be epic.
It's going to go bad.
Well, one, okay, so I've also heard that pretty much Rhaegal was Jon's dragon now, right?
Yeah.
So, like, it's not really Dany's dragon anymore. So, like, she thinks that she controls. So, I think that comes into play. Like, she wants to control.
I never thought about that.
Yeah, and so now they, like, are connected for life.
Yep.
So, he listens to Jon and not. So, essentially, Jon
has a dragon.
Now has a dragon and
a sweet
direwolf.
That's my king. So that's the people's king right there. Yeah.
But how Sunday's going to play out? A lot of people die. They lose. They retreat.
Yep.
To the Iron Islands.
At least get a good whack on the Night King. They hit him like once in the face. Or is he just dominant?
I say Night King don't get touched, but like a couple of his White Walkers, I say they kill at least one. Yeah. Or
well, and here's two another, of them. So
they're going to learn something from the battle. They'll be like, oh, wait, what if we do that?
So there's the Golden Army, right?
Yep.
And they've mentioned like 2 or 3 times now that they've never broken a contract, which means they're going to break a contract.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of like the people is like, oh, he's been on a 5-game hitting streak, whatever. They keep bragging about.
Hey, the walls stood for 8,000 years. It's never going to come down. Like, you don't say that a lot.
Yeah.
It's going to come down.
So the Golden Army is going to play a factor.
See, that's
but not be their main.
Have you ever thought like maybe the Night King was just staying there until a dragon came, like until dragons came back,
kind of march in circles.
That was
that was one of my things. I'm like, man, we've seen them a lot,
and
they're always marching.
Yeah,
that's the most logical answer, right?
Well, I kind of think maybe they were also building their army up by just killing all the wildlings.
Yeah, I'm sure that was part of it too. But like, they had like without that dragon, there's no way they could have got through that over the wall.
So King talk.
No, nope. I hope he does.
I think he like screeches.
I hope he sounds like Billy Hamilton.
Is he gonna make a sound or something?
What if he did talk and his voice is like Billy Hamilton?
Your horrible voice.
That's funny. I'm gonna say that there's gonna be a situation. This is probably unlikely, but this is what I want. A one-on-one with him and Jon Snow.
It's going to happen.
They're going to sit down and drink wine or what?
No,
or
like, but I kind of want, like, I want him to give, like, the classic bad guy, like, this is why I'm doing this.
So I could see, because Jon's going to start on a dragon, that. Right?
Yeah.
So, but he's also at some point going to be, like, fighting on the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
So I predict that dragon dies. Rhaegal dies, he falls to the ground, and then that's when he like starts fighting on the ground, and then maybe they face off. I don't know.
Do they get 2 ice dragons then?
No.
See, or does he not have time to?
I don't know.
My thing is, and this is what I said last night,
I'm going to say if the other dragon dies or whatever dragon, I'm going to say they're going to probably make sure that the other dragon lights it on fire right away.
They're going to be fighting at night. And I think that
into the morning, I bet.
Well, yeah, but my thing is like
like Helm's Deep,
probably.
They'll be fighting at night.
Gandalf the White will come and save them.
So the Night King can't just like spear into the sky and take out one of the dragons. Like, I think there'll be really cool shots of like we'll hear him and you can't see him, but then you'll see the fire.
Yeah. But like, what's the crazy? Like, I guess all right. What's going to be the craziest thing that will happen during this episode, or who's going to be the highest character that will die in this episode? Like, the biggest character.
Like, if we had to do a
Jamie Lannister.
If we had to do a big
five. You think Jamie's gone after this? See, I think that too.
I think Jamie's gone, yeah.
Yeah.
Because the only thing.
Jamie has to meet with Cersei.
Do you think so?
He doesn't have to.
But, yeah, I guess their thing hasn't ended yet. There's
probably something. That's true.
But didn't it kind of end when he left?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the biggest person would be. Tyrion? No, Arya.
I was gonna say
I see Arya.
I think it's gonna be one of the Stark girls.
Yeah,
but she's like such a killer. Like,
yeah, but that scene between her, like that's that's kind of like the last.
That's true.
I feel like she's gonna die.
But Jaime and Bran of Tarth. one of them will for sure die. I don't think they both make it.
No, I don't think they both do. That's why I think Brienne makes it so later. I think Jaime goes because he's also got the one hand.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to be at a disadvantage.
Yep.
He is a sweet... I told you the other night, I was like, that's so cool he has one gold hand. I don't know why.
It would be cooler if it did something.
Yeah, it's just...
Like if it functioned.
Cool.
So, okay, with that being said, then, like, what, like... I don't know. It's like, is there going to be another dragon that will die? Or will the Night King's dragon die? Will they kill that? Or, like, what...
I think our dragons make it. That's what I want. Because you know what I want? Because I like what Jordan said now, because I forgot. The Targaryens, they bond to their dragons.
That's how...
So I want a scene where Dany gets really PO'd. She's like, we're leaving. And Rhaegal, like, just stays
That's with, probably how they, right, John. Get to the Iron Islands will be... They have 20 people hop onto both dragons, and they all leave. Would be my... How I probably
and everybody else is dead.
Yep.
I love
pick 15 characters. That's going to be
a throwaway character. And I was telling you this before, but Beric Dondarrion, I think, is awesome because he has an eye patch.
Yeah.
And he has a great voice.
That's the biggest lock, like, to die.
He's dead.
Yeah, he's
actually, but the flaming sword is cool too.
Who's the
when they locked the gates and Grey Worm ran out, I'm like, oh, he ain't going back in.
Nope.
Yeah. Who's his last friend at the Night Watch? At the Night's Watch.
He's
dead.
He's dead too because of that.
The guy that said, "Now our watch begins."
Yeah. Because we can't remember his name, he is gone.
But I can't think of the line he said now. Oh yeah, when someone was like, "What happened to the Umbers?" and he says, "Like, they fight for the Night King now."
Yeah,
and I was like, "Oh yeah." He has a cool voice. Ooh, I don't. Sorry. But he's definitely dead too. The Hound will live. I don't know. Sansa will live.
Do you think
Jon and Daenerys both live? Tyrion lives.
Yeah. Who is the eunuch?
Varys.
Varys.
No, the other one.
Theon.
Theon?
Grey Worm.
Grey Worm.
I think it was three eunuchs.
Grey Worm. I think he's the biggest question mark. I don't know if he lives or dies.
No, that's what I was saying. Like, when he ran out.
What about Missandei?
They locked the gate.
She'll live.
He done.
Yeah, he gave the kiss to whatever that girl. Yeah, he's pretty much the goodbye. Yeah.
Like their characters were people.
He'll be on the front lines.
I loved their relationship. I'm like, nah, they're the safest ones to go.
Well, we've been all over the map, so I don't know if we've.
Well, actually, what's your prediction, David?
How's
it gonna go?
Okay, I don't think the Night King dies. I hope they doesn't die. I'm kind of rooting for the Night King in this battle, just so it's like they keep going.
Me too.
Because you don't have this bad guy forever, and then
that's what I was saying. Like, you don't lead the show. Like I said last night, the Iron Throne is the red herring to this whole story.
Yeah,
it is all about the Night King, and then for them to like just wipe him out next episode, and then be like back to the Iron Throne. I'd be like, wow, that's a lot for nothing.
Yeah, I don't think I'm kind of what you said. I think they get killed. There's going to be something that we didn't see coming that they want at Winterfell.
That's what I want to know the motive.
Or that we're like, oh, that makes sense. Because they're still kind of like, why are they even there?
Do you think we'll find that out by the end of the episode?
Yeah.
Why they're going towards Winterfell?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the crypts are going to be... Everyone's like, go to the crypts because they're safe. Like you said, the lines that you can't throw away.
Yeah.
So everyone's like... They said go to the crypts, they're safe like 16 times.
Yep.
So the crypts are not going to be safe.
Nope.
And everyone's going to die in there.
Yeah.
And...
I don't know about everyone's going to die.
Well, a lot of people. And... I don't know.
Any updates on who, like, wins the Iron Throne?
I'm still on the Jon train because it feels right. Even though it's the most obvious.
Sansa.
It feels right.
There's a lot of people saying that Cersei
had a good year.
Holds it at the end.
Yeah.
That would be super dumb.
It would, but... Sansa's got some good juju going.
She does.
Yeah.
Which means she might be the first to, like, die.
She's gonna ruin it.
I hope it opens with her and just...
Wow. Where's John? And she gets the arrow in the head.
Yeah.
Arrow through the eye.
Yeah. It's going to be epic. I know that it is. It's Monday night, and I am.
It's the longest battle sequence ever filmed.
Okay. Ever filmed.
I screenshotted this.
Like, I always loved Helm's Deep, and like they're saying this is better. So it's
so
I love it.
Ross Wendell retweeted this, but The Battle of Winterfell is going to feature the longest battle week sequence in film or TV history. The episode will have the most characters since the pilot, and the director says that the battle is longer than Lord of the Rings' Helm Deep Siege.
Wow.
Which is like the last third of that movie.
So this whole episode is going to be
you on like
the battle.
FaceTime the whole episode so you can watch it with us or something.
Yeah. So last night, my plan was, so we had like a whole bunch of Easter parties and I was sunburned, I was tired. And so I go down to put Deem to bed and I like fall asleep. I laid in her bed and I like fall asleep. And I wake up at 3 and I was like, crap, I missed Game of Thrones. I was like, I'll watch it tomorrow. And I was like, well, we got to talk about it. So then so from 3 to 4, I watched like Game of Thrones. I watched that 3. Because I have to watch it for my show.
That's dedication.
And I'm glad I did. And then I dreamed about it.
Really?
And it was,
you were in the battle or something?
Did you have any like crazy 3-eyed raven type?
No, but I had a dream. And I was like, why would they do that? And I was like, oh, it's a dream.
But so, okay. So after this Battle of Winterfell, then are like the next 2 episodes just going to go kind of like dorm, like nothing happens, and they're going to be King's Landing? Is that going
to
like.
There's a lot that has to be done.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they have to explain.
Like, yeah, I know.
Then it's like, you know, all the
short period of time just to explain a lot.
And Euron got lucky. We didn't cover that.
Yeah.
Why is the Golden Army even there? Like, yeah, like they're going to be something.
Yeah.
They're there because.
I know. Yeah.
Another theory. So the history of the Golden Army was that they were founded by bastards of like Targaryen princes and people. So now they think like they just wanted at some point to get over to Westeros, and this is their way to do that. And so now like they actually want
the Iron
Throne too. Oh. But there's not enough time for that to actually happen.
There is. If every episode's 1.5 hours now. There's some time. You know what I kind of low-key want? I don't think it's going to happen, but I don't know if you guys... They mentioned it early on, like in the first season, but in the books, they have the ice spiders.
You hope that they're in the battle?
I really hope that they show up in the battle and they, like, just take dudes out. Because I just think that would visually would look really cool.
Nah.
Like giant zombie spiders.
Yeah. I don't think they will, but you never know.
Hey, man.
There's going to be something that they're due for a...
I
didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I know we got an ice dragon, which I shouldn't get greedy.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Friday night, 9 p.m., the greatest
Sunday
TV...
Night.
Sunday night, 9 p.m., the greatest TV moment in history.
It is, right?
Yeah.
The most build-up.
Yeah. The Seinfeld finale was a pretty big deal.
Probably the Sopranos
finale.
When
everyone
finale.
Watched it in but Times it Square down. And stuff. But yeah, it was bad.
But that, yeah, this is going to go down. Will be one of the most iconic episodes in the history of television.
And this might be the last show that everyone watches at one time.
Like this?
Like this. Like a whole country like is watching the same thing
on
one
bated
time.
Breath.
And kudos to HBO's servers.
For not crashing yet.
They have not crashed.
And they've been early, too, with some of the episodes.
Yeah, like, normally we can get to it, like, 3 minutes before 9 o'clock. Anyway.
Knock on wood.
We got a couple days, but it can't come soon enough. We're going to take a little break, and we're going to go over we're going back to football, and we'll review the schedules for our favorite teams for next year. We'll be right back.
We appreciate all the great people who have stopped in at the Fort Recovery Dairy since we opened a couple weeks ago. Be sure to check our sign and Facebook page for our weekly specials. We invite you to try our pretzel bites and pretzel sticks. Whether you're stopping in for a meal or a quick treat, you can count on us for quality at a great price. Thanks again for helping to make our first couple of weeks at the Fort Recovery Dairy so successful. We'll continue to keep giving you great food and frozen treats at great prices. We're open every day from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Nothing like coming in from a long day outside, plopping down in your favorite spot, sipping an ice-cold beverage, and letting the chill of the air conditioning make your summer day complete. Or you could have your legs sticking to a vinyl-covered chair placed 6 inches from a fan blowing full speed at your beet-red face as you wish you would have called Reasoner Energy for that Trane air conditioner. Summer's heat comes fast and hot. Call Reasoner Energy 419-678-4858 and don't sweat it.
Hi, this is Jerry Kalp of Kalp Pharmacy, a locally owned Health Mart pharmacy. Kalp Pharmacy carries a full line of CPAP and BiPAP machines for sleep apnea. Our respiratory therapist will work with you to ensure proper fitting in the mask for ultimate results and comfort. Obstructive sleep apnea is a common condition in which the upper airway repeatedly collapses during sleep. If untreated, OSA may cause stress on the heart, increasing blood pressure, heart attack, or or chance of stroke. Call Kalb Pharmacy in Fort Recovery at 800-686-2314 to learn more. Kalb Pharmacy Health Mart, caring for you and about you.
The 8th Annual Fort Recovery Alumni Co-Ed Softball Tournament is coming up on June 7th, 8th, and 9th at Fort Site Park. The tournament is open to all former Fort Recovery graduates, spouses, fiancés, and Fort Recovery School District residents. Your team should consist of former classmates graduating in the same year, or as needed, you can combine classes to form a team, and each team needs to have a minimum of 5 ladies and 5 guys per team. Be sure to reserve your team spot before Monday, June 3rd by contacting Cole Wendell at 419-852-7141 or Ryan Evers at 419-733-6448. The entry fee is $100 per team. Watch their Facebook page, 2019 Fort Recovery Alumni Co-Ed Softball Tournament, for updates and game schedules. Food and refreshments will be available at the tournament, so grab the whole family and head down to Fort Site Park for a weekend full of fun and socializing with old and new friends. The 2019 Alumni Co-Ed Softball Tournament, June 7th, 8th, and 9th. Be sure to sign your team up before June 3rd. Get down there. It's always a lot of fun.
Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Vores, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Vores Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Vores Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
It's the practice squad. We're here talking Game of Thrones, a little bit of draft. The schedules came out this week, so we can start planning all of our trips to go see our favorite teams.
Which, by the way, not many good Browns-Bengals matchups. Both in December.
There was an early tweet that said, like, oh, they might play the first game.
Yeah.
And I thought that'd be sweet.
We will play the Steelers and the Ravens twice before we play the Browns.
Can we play you guys twice in the last, like, 4 weeks?
Yeah. December 8th and then the 29th, the last
game. That's how our schedule was last year. We played, I think, everybody else in the division once before.
We play one division game in the first 9 weeks.
Garmin, go through the Bengals schedule and just highlight some games and kind of give. It's like the fourth, which it's. I don't know if you can even go on it because the NFL changes so much.
Well,
it's the fourth easiest schedule on the league.
Yeah, that's what they say. And I mean that's kind of how they set that up, depending on like based off what your record is. But it looks like we got the NFL or the.
If you start with the Seahawks on the road, that's a tough game no matter what because their stadium is tough. So their first game, you got Russ Wilson with a new contract.
But like, and I don't want to get like overly optimistic, but I'm looking at it right now, and until the bye and on November 3rd, the only games that make me really nervous are the Seahawks in week one, Steelers in week four, and then the Rams again in the end of the month, end of October.
San Fran's got Garoppolo back. But
like
that should be a game,
and that's at home, and he will he be back by then?
Well, I don't know,
because I'm trying to remember when he suffered.
Think his how many rookie
surgery.
Quarter like rookie or second year quarterbacks they might face: Josh Allen,
yeah,
Kyler Murray,
yep, Lamar
Jackson. Who else am I missing? Is that it?
Goff will be a third.
Darnold,
yeah,
and Baker. So. Like eight or no, six.
And kind of
first or second year quarterback,
and depending on what Oakland does too.
So, and Josh Allen might take a leap, so you never know about the Bills. But San Fran and the Bills are winnable games. Cardinals might still be a wreck with Kyler Murray. Baltimore's up in the air. Even the Steelers are up in the air. Depending on Big Ben.
Yeah,
but
part of me is a little worried about them though, because I want to say that they're like getting old now.
Yeah,
but I feel like they.
I've been saying that for 5 years.
But also, I kind of feel like they cleaned house a little bit. Like they did.
Everybody's
they
been got saying rid of their, about the Patriots for how many
they
years?
They got rid of their dirty laundry.
So,
And I feel like they're going to be their houses a little bit tidier now, and they don't have as much drama.
They're going to be good. They're still going to be the same Steelers, even though that Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell left.
Yeah,
they're. I mean,
I don't know. What's your? Do you have a season prediction?
I say worst case scenario, 5 and 10.
Ooh. Yeah, I think so too.
I would say best, and I'll be optimistic, but I truly feel this way, especially based off our schedule, and if injuries don't plague us, I feel like we could be borderline wild card. Yeah. Like, I think the last 2 weeks we'll be doing math.
Well, they say every year a team goes from last to first or last to playoffs. So the Bengals could be one of those candidates.
And
if they don't have injuries, they'll be better than last year. But who knows what the new coach is going to bring? The schedule's easier, but then again, that
changes. Like, if you had to think about it,
because the Browns, you always look at the Browns as like, oh, that was two winnable games, but now the Browns should win both of those games probably.
Right.
So,
but like, it also, like you said, we have the schedule caters to us a little bit.
Yeah.
And I mean, just think about it. Think about what Tyler Boyd did by himself. Like, I don't want to go down that whole road, but you get Tyler Boyd back, AJ Green back, you know, Dalton's healthy. If this, you know, Zach Taylor system works out fine, maybe, you know, he has a nice season.
See if John Ross can do anything.
Yeah, Joe Mixon, you know, we draft well on defense.
Best offensive line in the NFL.
Well, yeah, that's true. There's a lot of ifs, but I feel
Mark
like,
Walton in jail, but yeah, not on the team anymore.
Did you see that we worked out Rod Smith?
Yeah.
I would prefer that just because he's like
a veteran.
Yeah, he's a veteran backup. Yeah. Like, he's solid.
They could draft somebody. I bet they'll draft somebody again.
And they always, I don't really know much of the running backs.
I don't know any of them.
I don't know any of them. I know the one for the kid from Alabama, the gentleman. Yeah, that's even,
you
know,
you get a Mike Weber in like fourth round.
Yeah.
Be all right.
But yeah, like, I don't know. Nothing on the schedule really.
You got that,
seems...
what's a guy out of Stanford?
Oh, yeah, Bryce Love.
Bryce Love. He's coming out.
Benny Snell.
Kentucky, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking at the schedule and there's nothing, you know, that seems.
They're going to lose to the Patriots. They're going to lose to the Rams. They're going to lose to probably the Steelers. Probably lose to the Browns twice.
Mm. I think we split.
Split.
I'll say that every year.
Yeah. Ravens will probably split. You know, the Seahawks will lose the first game probably. But they, I mean, you could see them maybe going 2-2 or 3-1 in those first four games. If they can go 3-1, that'd be they were 3-1 last year. And that did pretty well.
You guys are like,
you guys start off hot.
Yeah.
In the beginning of the season. So
we always do.
I'm not trying to be an apologist, but you can look at the way we were playing, and then when the injuries took place, that's when it really took a slide, hardcore.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying we were going to win the Super Bowl or anything, because I think we're about full health when we played
New Orleans. Then you guys actually saw how bad your defense really is.
Yeah. It got pretty bad.
Were we full health when we played New Orleans? That was pretty bad.
Yeah. Well, and we also, we got, just to make sure
Kansas
we cover
City.
It.
Remember those blowouts? Wow.
We got one Monday night game, which I was telling before the show. I just automatically Steelers. Assumed it was a Thursday night game because I didn't think the NFL would at all give us a Monday or Sunday night game.
There was only one team that didn't get any primetime games, and that was the
Buffalo
Bills. Yeah.
And okay, I got a question. Is were the Monday night games at 8:15 last year?
Mm-hmm. Maybe 8:20.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, it says 8:15, and I'm like, I don't remember any Monday night game ever starting at 8:15.
Mm-hmm. When did the Reds start completely off? When did they start playing at 6:30?
They do that during the school year.
Really?
They did that last year.
Yeah,
I don't know if they started doing that year before.
I would like turn on seven, and they'd be like two.
They're home. I don't know if any other teams do it, but at home during the school year, they play at 6:40 so kids can watch the games.
Interesting. Philly, go over the Titans.
It's all about the kids.
It's all about the kids.
It's all about the kids. So we started off the year against the Browns in Cleveland. Big matchup. Then we go to the Colts. We got the Colts. Then it's Jacksonville. Then we get the NFC South. So we play the
Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, we play Atlanta. Then we play
Hotlanta.
Yeah. Then we got the Bills again. Then we go Denver, Chargers, Buccaneers, Carolina, and Kansas City. Week 11 is our bye week, which I think that will come a good time with that three-game stretch to hit that, or four-game stretch. Then after the bye, we go Jacksonville again, then Colts, Raiders, Texans, Saints, and Texans to finish out the year.
Season prediction.
So going off
the ESPN, whatever, we got like the ninth hardest schedule. I don't know how they figured it out or whatever, but
ESPN knows all.
Well, yes. And also they know all. Stuff is so subject to change.
Yeah.
Teams play.
I say if everything goes well, like injuries, you know, don't hit us again. I say worst, we go 8-8. Best, 11-4. Right now,
five.
11-5.
Yeah, so you're predicting a pretty good year.
I got high expectations this year. Which,
what do you predict in week one?
Week one, I actually like the matchup.
Big fat W. Ain't scared.
Home or against the
Cleveland? Is that Cleveland?
Ugh.
But
against Cleveland's,
I like it. Fans? I like it at week one instead of playing you like at week 13. So that's fair. we have a better shot of beating you a week one.
Chemistry's not quite there yet. Yeah. Odell's still.
How long do Browns fans wait to boo Odell Beckham? Like if he does bad.
It's not going to happen.
They're going to love him.
Yeah.
Right away. I mean, they don't hold their booze back
on
anybody
else.
He has
like two catches the first game, like three catches the second game. They start booing him the third?
No. I mean, unless like he's dropping every ball.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, he's just not getting targets. Like,
he's not getting targets, but then he's chewing Baker out on the sidelines. It's on ESPN for like two straight weeks.
He'll wait to chew him out probably for till like later in the year. They don't have that kind of they don't have that rapport yet.
I think it's going to be
Odell's not that kind of guy.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be as dramatic. At least this year. I mean, at some point it could be, but I don't think it'll be that dramatic this year.
I hope it is. I hope it's really like
that's your guys' only shot for like us not to be Super Bowl winners.
All right, go over the Browns schedule and tell us like they're going to win 15 games.
That's possible.
Oh, it's not.
It's not possible. I think the Browns.
Freddie
are good.
Kitchens is in over his head.
So open up with Tennessee home game.
I think no brainer.
The NFL just wanted to schedule like an easy cakewalk for us the first week, making sure we're good.
Until you guys lose,
and then we open up Monday night away at New York Jets.
That's a win.
Maybe. Yeah, I'm scared of the Jets. I don't know why. I think Darnold's going to take a big leap this year.
I think their uniforms made him worse.
Maybe.
Oh my god.
They're going to play bad. Then we have Monday Night Football. Or is that Sunday Night? Sunday Night Football.
I can't keep track
with
of all
the Rams.
You got back-to-back prime times?
Yep. No big deal.
Yeah, it's going to throw them off.
At the Rams. No, home against the Rams. That'd be a fun game.
Loss.
And then we have Baltimore,
loss.
San Francisco,
loss.
Seattle.
Loss.
So that first six-game stretch,
you're going to be two.
We're looking at 4-2. So win against Tennessee, win against New York, maybe lose against the Rams. We're going to lose against the Rams and or drop Baltimore or Seattle. So we'll beat San Francisco. So I'm 4-2 maybe.
2-4.
Awfully confident for not having a good team forever.
Well, you know what? We're not playing yet, so I might as well be confident now.
Yep.
Week 7 bye, and then we have a kind of tough schedule here. Then we have at New England, at Denver, Buffalo, Pittsburgh. Mm. So I think we go at least 2-2 there.
It's pretty cold there.
So we're 6-4 right now. And then we close with Miami,
win.
Pittsburgh,
loss.
Cincinnati,
loss.
Arizona, Baltimore, Cincinnati,
loss.
So you guys are going to go 10-6.
My prediction is 10-6.
Are you saying 2-0 against the Bengals with that?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll remember you said that. 10-6 is that division champs or wild card?
Division champs.
Okay.
Yeah, AFC North, that feels right.
Yeah.
It's pretty. We just. It's smash mouth, dude.
So all of us will probably be around.
What were the. Ravens were the winners, right, last year?
Yep. Yeah.
What was their record?
8-8.
Seriously?
No.
It seemed like.
It was like 10-6, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think they're 10-6.
10-6.
Like, we're not the AFC East over
and
here.
And that was like when Harbaugh was on the hot seat and they were like, well, let's just throw Lamar Jackson a college offense against the Bengals. And we couldn't. Stop.
College offense? More like high school.
Yeah, it was like. It was horrible.
And they kept doing it.
When he was
and they kept winning.
Was that the worst game of the year last year?
No, New Orleans.
New Orleans.
That was just
Or Kansas City. Which one was worse, New Orleans or Kansas City?
Kansas City was rough because we watched football all day, so excited.
What about the first Browns game?
That was horrible, too.
That had to be the...
Like, you guys had like a lot of blowouts.
There was a couple of stretches that weren't real fun last year.
There was four or five games last year that were over in the first, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It was dumb.
How bad was the Saints game? You guys stuck around a little bit, didn't you?
45-10 or something.
Or not.
Something like no, that. We answered. They scored, and then we scored, and I was like, here we go.
Then after that...
Well, because that was...
We were driving back down to counter, and there was a chippy fourth down penalty that I thought we converted, and then after that, it was just no mercy.
Well, that was after everyone was yelling at Marvin that we needed to go for it on 4th and 1 at the 45.
Yeah.
So he tried it like 3 times that game, and they didn't get it. But that was 4 Recovery Christmas open house, so I walked uptown with Tori.
So you didn't witness it.
So I watched like it was tie game. I was like, all right. And I watched on my phone, and I just kept going like, touchdown Saints, touchdown Saints.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. Actually, I think I was watching on my phone. It was over.
Bring up, since Philly was talking about how they were playing Atlanta, I mentioned this at the beginning of before we started, was the schedule videos that the NFL released, teams released. What the Browns do?
It was a simple, like, John Dorsey, like, printed off and posted it on the wall. It was like a 28-second video.
Was it better or worse than the Andrew Luck one where he reads it and then reads
it? It was better because it was only like 28 to 38 seconds. So
it was simple.
It was simple. We didn't have a 3-minute video with our mascot.
Well.
Zooming.
It's either you go simple like that. It's either you go simple like that or you go big like Atlanta did.
Yeah.
Carolina did the 8-bit video, which was really cool.
The Bengals video is an epitome of their front office.
So here's the thing.
First off, it's a Razor scooter, which wasn't cool for like the last 15 years.
So do they have to have like a budget for this? Do you think? Like, for what Atlanta did.
The lack thereof.
Like, they shouldn't even pay the mascot. They should it on your own.
Like, what I'm saying is, you think someone like went to like Mike Brown, they're like, we have to like make a video. Like, we gotta do something for the schedule. He's like, just get the Tiger, put him on a scooter, and have him go around town, and he'll end up, put him in the pro shop. Give them 50 bucks.
And the Tiger costume,
nothing's on sale.
Seems like it's from the 90s.
Well, and you know what's hilarious is that we updated that Tiger. Like the one from the 90s. The one from the 90s.
By changing the jersey?
The one from the 90s looks like something from the 70s. And then they're like, well, now we got to update it. And now it's a 90s one and it's 2019.
The Bengals aren't far from going back to. Like if this new coach thing doesn't work out and Zach Taylor's
you
like
need
way
Zach
over,
Taylor to be good.
We need him to like not be like, because he talks a good game.
Yeah.
Like he's impressive in front of the media and stuff, but we better hope that he knows what he's doing, because if he, like, I don't know. For all the crap they gave Marvin, and I'm not, I guess, whatever. He was the best coach we've had in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually made the Bengals competitive.
With the media.
He was terrible.
Well, is he better? Is Zach Taylor better?
Much better. Yes. Yeah, he can win like an interview room.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if he just didn't interview really well and they were like, yeah, we want somebody young. But we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, but he better be a good coach, because we might find that Marvin was actually pretty good and we had it good. And then.
Well, and I think some of it.
We had to make a change.
Some of it was like the staff you also had just wasn't as good.
Probably. It's just probably. People getting complacent.
Well, our assistant coaches all got head coaches.
Job. So, like, you guys losing coach after coach every year. And then you kind of just hit a patch where you didn't have
Marvin,
to
be fair, Marvin's had a pretty decent coaching tree.
Yeah. I mean, what? Mike Zimmer, Jay Gruden.
Like, granted, if all those guys pan out, but like
Hugh Jackson,
Vance Joseph,
Hugh Jackson,
Vance got a head coaching job.
Who else are we missing?
I strongly want to know though. Like, I think I've watched most of the other NFL scheduling videos to see if any of them were that atrocious. Because the places he was going to weren't even relative to what the team.
I can name one worse: the Colts, because he had to look at Andrew Luck's nasty neck beard.
I would take that.
I heard the Cowboys one was weird. It was Amari Cooper reading like their schedule but whispering it, and then someone was making like crunchy noises on a microphone.
ASMR stuff.
Yeah, what is that?
It's like, I don't know. Like I don't know. I've seen a lot of like interviews where they do that, like celebrities and magazines where they do, like they whisper. It's supposed to, like, I don't know. That's a thing.
Really?
Yeah.
I just heard
when you get Google ASMR when you get
the shows. Titans, all they had was just a bunch of country singers. It was like, and the Titans go to Tampa Bay or whatever. And
like it would just be Who Day, our stupid mascot, riding a
cliche. Do it
riding a scooter, going like sitting like he's like looking at the skyline, and then it shows the Buffalo Bills logo, and then he's in the pro shop and he's grabbing all the Tigers, and then it's
in the background music. I'm pretty sure I could pull it up right now for about $8.
Yeah, that's what I strongly
suck.
It's so embarrassing. Like our schedule video was so bad that your reaction was, "Boy, Zach Taylor better be good."
Yeah,
because this is embarrassing.
Who was it that tweeted that Hugh Jackson got the job to promote the? Or
he's,
whatever.
He's our media guy.
Yeah, to run the media guy account. Because they lost give him all his 50 other jobs.
Yeah. Anyway,
I really do think Mike Brown was just like, get the Tiger.
So what did Atlanta do for theirs?
They did the Game of Thrones.
It was all like animated.
But yeah. Part of it was when they play New Orleans.
Yeah.
They show like someone running into a wide receiver, and then a
saint getting hit by a ram, and then an official comes up and waves it off. But not only that, but it looked amazing. And then Carolina's was so
they,
cool.
They just spent a lot of money on it.
Yeah.
For time, it made a relative effort.
What Carolina?
If you're gonna do that, literally get Dalton. Even get what like the long snapper is. Brad St. Louis still our long snapper? I don't even know.
Clark Harris.
Get Clark Harris.
Brad St. Louis was the one year that we lost like four games.
Print him out a Word doc and have him sit in the locker room and just read it, and then walk off.
Yeah. Kevin Huber just punts footballs with schedules on them.
Yeah. I don't know. And then as the guys catch them, Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. Like that would be better. Alex Harris. Erickson does a fair catch, and he's like, "Oh, I'm white and generic." Well, yeah, that's the schedules. It can't come soon enough because the Masters is over. We're gonna get into the doldrums of baseball, which are good when the Reds are like in the.
Yeah, but it's just the joy of the summer, whether it be outside.
Just have fun, man.
Have fun.
Yeah. Well,
enjoy life, dude.
We got a big week coming up. We got the draft on Thursday. We got draft Avengers on Friday with the draft. Draft on Saturday. Game of Thrones on Sunday. Jordan, are we gonna be doing any more shows in a couple weeks, or what's going on?
You guys want to? We'll probably do one. Let's say
a couple weeks.
Yeah. Before and after maybe the Game of Thrones finale.
Okay.
After the draft, so we can recap that.
Okay. Well, that's going to wrap up our show this evening. But for David Schmidt, producer Jordan Sogler, Craig Garman, and Troy Metzger, we will see you guys in a couple of weeks.
See you guys. See you.